根据皮尔逊研究所和美联社公共事务研究中心的最新民意调查显示，大约四分之三的美国人认为中国和俄罗斯是最大的网络威胁。新冠疫情爆发以来，中国网络大军加强攻势，在社媒和网站上散布谣言和虚假信息，混淆病毒来源，诋毁西方民主。近两年来，中国网络信息战的手法和规模发生了哪些演变？谁是网络背后的操纵者？美国要如何反击来自中国的网络威胁？今天我们邀请前美国国防部情报局高级情报师、保护天下有限责任公司总裁丹·盖瑞特来谈谈他对这些问题的看法。盖瑞特曾经在美国国会行政当局中国委员会就2019年的香港民主运动作证。Mr. Dan Garrick, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for the invitation.
China has ramped up disinformation efforts during the COVID-19 pandemic. So what does China's disinformation campaign focus on?
Well, China's disinformation campaign is a holistic, systematic, multidimensional, and multi-platform political warfare slash information war against the United States and the West, and also targeting Hong Kongers, Tibetans, and Uyghurs, as well as Taiwan. It involves many different themes. So it has very large strategic themes, like China's new Cold War disinformation theme, accusing the U.S. of trying to initiate a new Cold War with Beijing. And then much other ones like the U.S. attempting to stoke a color revolution in Hong Kong or in Xinjiang. Then also the COVID-19 conspiracy theories about Fort Detrick and the University of North Carolina, and a variety of other ones. And then,
But during the COVID-19 pandemic, China's message is more focused on highlighting and misrepresenting democracy's failures. Messages from China suggest that democratic countries' responses to COVID-19 pandemic have been disastrous, and China authoritarian states have managed their outbreaks very well. Did you notice that?
Yes, exactly. This is a part of its larger strategic disinformation campaign targeting not only the United States, but the Western liberal international order. It is integrated with the quote-unquote new Cold War disinformation campaign, but basically is a systems conflict. And basically Beijing is attempting to undermine the political legitimacy of democracy, as well as the United States government and its institutions as well. And as you indicated, try to extort the benefits of an authoritarian slash totalitarian system, whether it be the People's Republic of China or the Russian Federation or Iran or North Korea.
Mm-hmm. And the other purpose is disputing the origin of COVID. And
yes.
The U.S. for the pandemic.
Yes. And even within this disinformation theme, there are multiple streams of it. So you have disinformation regarding quote-unquote vaccine diplomacy, mask diplomacy, the politicization of virus origin tracing, and so forth like this. And once again, these are individual themes, but they are all underneath the larger strategic theme of discrediting the United States, placing and trying to discredit the theory or the hypothesis that the COVID-19 virus originated in China.
U.S. cybersecurity firm FireEye says in its new report, the scope of activity is much larger than previously understood. So what is the scope of activity in terms of languages and platforms used by China?
Again, it depends on the specific theme, but for these larger themes, it's very large. It's multi-platform, multi-dimensional. So we see disinformation in Chinese state media, both as in its so-called factual reporting, as well as opinion journalism. We see this replicated through social media accounts. So both overt accounts that are affiliated with like Chinese diplomats or Chinese culture organizations, as well as covert or illicit accounts, which claim no affiliation with the Chinese Party State, but actually are affiliated. And then the FireEye report also talks to these automated bots, and these coordinated networks, where basically where one party actor releases some disinformation, and then it's amplified throughout the network by other individuals. And eventually this percolates into the mainstream media. And so this is one of the metrics of success as far as the party is concerned, is how often its talking points and its narratives are regurgitated either in the Western media or by other more friendly nations media.
Do U.S. intelligence sources have evidence regarding who is behind this disinformation campaign?
Well, I can't speak to what U.S. intelligence has or doesn't have personally, since I'm no longer a member of that community. But speaking broadly and generally, since most of this disinformation campaign takes place in the public sphere, that data is out there. Now, the issue of attribution, who is responsible, is a very difficult one, much like with cyber warfare and hacking. You may be able to identify accounts or organizations that are prima facie involved, but who are the actual actors behind those accounts? This is a more complicated question. And while some of this can be ascertained to varying degrees of confidence through public open source methods like FireEye's research and other corporations' research like RAND Corporation, CNA, NED, Freedom House, that has documented Chinese disinformation, the more illicit the backstage activities, who's tasking the coordination, generally will fall within the realm of national technical means or the classified intelligence capabilities of different organizations to be able to see who is providing the tasking, who's actually doing the coordination and so forth like that. But once again, it really depends on the specific scenario and the specific case. They may have some evidence. Sometimes that evidence may be circumstantial. Other times that evidence may be much more compelling. Another factor that comes into the equation here is whether it's law enforcement or an intelligence community or a political politicians or the media, there's different levels of there's different thresholds for evidentiary based assessments. So one group may assess a certain type of information more confidently than another group. And there's different perspectives when they look at that data. So even like with the unclassified, the declassified version of President Biden's intelligence report, you know, it's been reported that there's been some disagreement within the intelligence community. Well, this is normal because each organization has different sources and methods and analytical frameworks that they use to evaluate that information. And so it goes back from the source of the information, it goes back to actually what was provided or what was said, and it goes to the context, the timing, who said it, where it was said, and so forth like this. So it's a much more complicated issue than what Chinese disinformation has tried to present, which is basically to discredit the U.S. and Western intelligence agencies' research into this area as being basically politically motivated and unscientific. But this is a blatant disinformation claim itself, because at least in the case of the United States, the intelligence community consists of many scientists, including from the national labs and so forth like that. So this is not just a case of some political analysts sitting around reading some reports and making up a theory.
Have you noticed how Chinese disinformation operation evolved in the past 2 years? For instance, U.S. officials have not previously noticed Chinese intelligence agency trying to spread disinformation through texting U.S. citizens. So that technique requires a very deep understanding of the U.S. infrastructure. How serious is that threat?
This is a very serious threat. And at a broader, more generic level, this kind of speaks to the issue of TikTok and the collection of very high fidelity information about American citizens and American residents. So these cyber intrusions that we have had in the past of OPM and everything like that, that provides very detailed information about individuals within the national security community or have clearances. And when you get down to a level where you're actually texting individual phone numbers, this suggests a very high level of information collection by the Chinese Communist Party and the sophistication in their targeting. And because generally what they're trying to influence is not the pro-China or the anti-China groups, but they're trying to focus in on that narrow group, that couple percent that are quote-unquote undecided. Same thing when it comes to U.S. political elections, so because it's a two-party system. Hardcore Democrats and hardcore Republicans aren't going to shift, but those independents in the middle, there may be a certain percentage that can make the difference between a 1% win or a 1% loss.
How effective do you think the Chinese misinformation, disinformation campaign has been?
I think it's been very effective, much more effective than a lot of people realize, even academics and think tanks that are looking at this issue. Because once again, the China's disinformation campaign is a holistic and systematic approach. So organizations that are looking at just one part of the elephant, like perhaps Chinese disinformation targeting Taiwan, may not put that in context of other larger disinformation campaigns. It's also the case that when I did my doctoral work in Hong Kong on China's enemification and securitization, using political warfare against Hong Kongers, there was a great deal of disinformation that was apparent that nobody was reporting on. And even in 2014, it was obvious that Chinese and Russian independent media and state-affiliated media was cooperating and providing or circulating these disinformation narratives. Now we see that much more across the board, not only in social media and in propaganda, but also at the level of NGOs and groups and political parties in the United States and the UK. So you have a number of groups where the Chinese Communist Party has invited members to go visit China and meet party members, learn more, quote unquote, learn more about China. And then they come back and Chinese Communist Party officials may participate in webinars that are hosted by these organizations that are targeting demographics within the United States that may be amenable or susceptible to the Chinese message, Chinese Communist Party message, whether it is to not oppose the Chinese Communist Party's policies against Hong Kong or in Xinjiang, or even to try to improve the relationship between the United States and China.
Do you anticipate China will continue to drive higher engagement in this disinformation as WHO seeks to revive the origin, investigation of the origin of COVID-19?
Yes, they will ramp it up. And basically how intelligence agencies work is anytime that there's a crisis, they do two things. One is that they surge intelligence collection, and then they surge intelligence operations. So this is probably one of the most critical times in Chinese Communist Party's history or the rise of quote-unquote new China. So they will mobilize the whole of party, the whole of nation to discredit the investigation, to discredit individuals related to the investigation if they are not preferential to China's position. And we're already seeing that with some of the recent leaks of documents of individuals that were involved in WHO investigations that were actually cooperating with Wuhan Institute of Virology, basically discussing the types of bioweaponization implications that may exist. But if you look at Chinese disinformation attacking those individuals, they don't mention that. They may mention the U.S. individuals or the foreign individuals that were involved, but they don't mention that those individuals were working in cooperation with the Wuhan Institute of Virology at some level. So basically, you have a lot of duplicitous framing of the situation. So it may not be outright misinformation, but it is a definitely disinformation because it's on a partial presentation of the facts to China's advantage.
So how should U.S. counter this cyber threat from China?
excuse me. There's a variety of ways and things that need to be done. One is that I think Chinese state media cannot be allowed the same level of access to the United States media market or Western democracies that it has currently right now. The efforts of Twitter or YouTube to take down these accounts are ineffective and inadequate because the damage has already been done. And it's very difficult to stop them, stop new networks from popping up. It is also the case that the Chinese disinformation strategy has expanded. So because they are aware that Chinese state media has been identified as a purveyor of disinformation, they go to these quote unquote independent influencers on social media who ostensibly have no official affiliation with the party. So the US government and other governments need to look at how these clearly affiliated actors are licensed or not. Basically, they're foreign agents. So what we have in the case of the China Daily or the People Daily or Global Times is we have individuals who are commentators, routine commentators, if not columnists in those party magazines that are hosting webinars that have social media accounts and they're hosting discussions. They're basically pushing Chinese Communist Party talking points and disinformation themes. But these accounts won't be banned because they're not state affiliated per se, but they're actually part of the party state United Front apparatus. So the United States and the West really needs to look more deeply, not just at the technological solutions or the technological threat, but also the human-based threat that comes out from the United Front co-optation of the West.
Thank you so much, Mr. Garrett. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
好，非常感谢前美国国防部情报局高级情报师丹·盖瑞特为我们做的分析和解答。来宾发表的都是个人意见，并不一定代表美国之音。